Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this somewhat gloomy but somewhat warm as well, April morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Let's see, a couple of announcements. We will have Bible study at 5 o'clock over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. And we're still in the letter to the Hebrews. So everybody is invited to come and do some Bible study with us and eat some cheesecake and such as that. Bring your dogs too. Terry has lots of dog treats. So, you know, just bring everything and everybody you can. Also, annual conference is going to be two different times. There's going to be a virtual service or virtual annual conference in June, and then there will be an in-person annual conference in August. And I'll get Wanda to put the dates for that in the bulletin and see if Keith can get them on the website, and I'll put them on Facebook and all that. But this year's annual conference shouldn't be anything out of the ordinary. We don't have to elect delegates or anything because the delegates that we elected still haven't gotten to go to their general conference because COVID hit. So, but if you would like to attend, I'll make sure that all that information gets put in various places so everybody can attend as they would like to. Other than that, there aren't really any other announcements. So let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See, number 454 in the United Methodist Hymnal. And we will sing all three verses. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, wait. No, you may not. Sorry. We're having technical difficulties up here, so I'm doing two things at once. Clayton, do you think you can see if your phone will work better than mine, maybe? Oh, well, never mind then. People at home, you should have come to church. Let's affirm our faith. You can stand. I'm just kidding, everybody. It's okay. Let us... You can if you want to. Let's affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll give me just a minute, I'll see if I can get this back up real quick. Let's see. Well, we'll let it do its thing. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I come with a few of my own. Let's see. If you will, keep Becky in your prayers. Becky Lane, she had knee surgery this past week, and from what I understand, she's recovering well. You want to tell us about it, Don? Okay. So, Don would like all of your prayers that Becky would get well very quickly so he can go back to doing man things and she can go back to doing the real work in the house. And then also, Wanda got into some poison ivy. Apparently, she fought poison ivy and lost. So, she said she got some medicine, that kind of stuff. But she asked for everybody to keep her in their prayers. And then also, Clayton's friend David, who has been to church a couple times, he has entered a rehab facility to help him with some of his substance abuse issues. And so Clayton's been helping him with that and everything. And he just started. He'll be in the detox portion for approximately a week, and then he'll go to a 30-day program from there. So just keep David in your prayers, and Clayton as well. Clayton is currently his only contact, so just keep Clayton in your prayers as well. And Larry told me, he got in touch with me this past week, he said that hopefully he'll be having in-home care for Arville coming so that he can get back to church and Bible study and just kind of get out and do some things. So I know he would appreciate your prayers, and Arville as well. From what I understand, it's just kind of the same old, same old. Arville hasn't had to go back to the hospital at all, which is good news. And he hasn't fallen or anything from what I've heard and all. So just keep them in your prayers. I know they would appreciate it. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Okay.
I guess she's picked up this stomach bug that's going around. I'm not sure. But they've been in the emergency room. Abel has surgery Tuesday morning on his eyes.
Okay.
So please remember them. And like I said, please remember Brittany as she's got all of this going on. A friend of mine, Linda Coffey, lost her son last weekend. He was grandchildren's remaining parent. Their mother died, I think, in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. So that means Linda's Linda and Don will be taking Tucker, who is 15. I think she's going to go up to Kentucky for independent school, but just remember that one, because I know when Tucker watched his dad have the wreck, he gets a motorcycle wreck, and he watched him die.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we lost two students. We lost a student at Brookwood High School this week, what I understand. And his brother, Ralph, his brother, Alexis.
Okay. All right. We'll keep all of those situations in our prayers. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, Liliana. I love you too. Anybody else have any requests they'd like to share? I love you too, Clayton. But no, I'm not buying you lunch. If no one has any other requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we have many prayer requests today, prayers for healing and for strength and for comfort, prayers for guidance, prayers for understanding. We have praises for people who have been able to get help, for people who have sought out help. We thank you, Lord, that in all things you are God and we can turn to you no matter how difficult our situation. We pray that you would be with all of those who are mentioned today, as well as all of those who have been mentioned in the past, and those who perhaps we don't know about, or we just haven't felt comfortable sharing. You know all things, and we trust that you will work all things for good. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, number 377 in the United Methodist Hymnal. It is Well With My Soul, and we are going to sing all of the verses. 377.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And as a reminder, as always, we have two baskets, one here, one at the narthex, that you can give your offering. You can also drop it in the mailbox or mail it in or drop it off as if you see Wanda or I hanging around here. I'm going to try to be here a little bit more often. The bishop's letting us sort of at our discretion come in a little bit more to try and get things back to normal. So you should see my car here a little more often when you drive by. And you can also give online in our Facebook page as well as our Facebook group. So whatever way you choose to give, however you choose to give, we pray that you would follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit in doing so. But this time, let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. At this time, Clayton is going to sing a special song selection for us. So sit back and relax and enjoy the music.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Clayton, for that beautiful song. We're still having technical difficulties up here, so I'm just going to record us, and then we'll post it later. So if y'all will just give me one moment. You get on that. Okay. All right, let's see here. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Anybody here ever dealt with sheep before? Ever raised sheep, been around sheep, seen sheep? I've never raised them myself. I know a number of people who have. I know a number of people who still do. I've seen demonstrations of herding sheep with sheep dogs and things such as that. And I can tell you that as much as we may not like the fact that Scripture calls humanity sheep, it's a pretty appropriate way of referring to humanity. There's kind of a trend, I guess, amongst people who are hostile or at least not fans of Christianity to say things like, the Lord is not my shepherd because I'm not a sheep. And whenever I see people say this, I think to myself two things. The first is, you miss the entire point of Psalm 23. It's not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd, right? It's what is a shepherd? What does a shepherd do? And Jesus tells us here, shepherd takes care of his sheep, right? He leads them, he protects them, he keeps them safe. A hired hand doesn't care. You know, a wolf shows up, and the hired hand finds a way to get away because he doesn't care. They're just sheep. But to the good shepherd, they're not just sheep. They're his sheep. But the other thing that I think that a lot of people who have this mindset don't realize is that sheep are not dumb animals. Sheep are stubborn animals. Sheep do things that we look at and we say, well, that's kind of dumb, but they're just stubborn. They just know better. That's how they are. You ever met anybody that's hard-headed and knows everything and you can't tell them anything? You know, a couple people maybe might know. I was going to try and get a video for Keith to show us, but I couldn't ever find it in a shareable format. The format that I got it in isn't easily shareable, so I'll just have to describe it to you because it tells you everything you need to know about sheep. The video that I saw, there's a sheep, and it looks like what they've done is they've cut a trench to put maybe water pipes or something like that in, and the sheep has fallen into this trench, and he's stuck. It's just wide enough that he can get stuck in it. And so there's a little boy who's trying to help the sheep out, and he's got like a belt kind of thing, and he has it wrapped around the only leg that he can get around. And he helps the sheep, they fight and they fuss, and he gets the sheep out, and he gets the sheep on the side, and the sheep's so happy, and he jumps around, and he frolics, and he falls right back into the trench. Just, you know, 20 feet down. That's what human beings do. I hate to tell you all that. If you think you don't, how many people here have gotten more than one speeding ticket? Right? At least a few of us, right? Why do you get more than one speeding ticket? You can read the sign, right? You know that the speed limit is roughly whatever it is. You know, you can say to yourself, well, you know, they allow for 2-3 miles an hour over. But you know that if you're boogieing down through Rockwood going 70, there's a good chance you might get pulled over. Maybe if you're heading over to Midtown, and you decide that the new speed limit of 55, which isn't that new, but you know, it's new-ish, 55 really means 65 or whatever, you know, guess what? Rowan County Sheriff might pull you over and have a talk with you. You get on the interstate, go about 90, you're going to get pulled over. Yet we keep doing it, right? But we don't just do things like that. Stephen King, the author, is a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. And in his memoir, On Writing, he says the first time that he ever got like really drunk was in college. He went to a party and it was expected, you know, and he drank too much, and he woke up. He said he had a terrible headache. It felt like somebody was stabbing him in between the eyes. He said, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Who would ever do this again? I'm never going to do this. And he said, and I didn't until the next party. Because it's going to be different this time, right? Even worse, some of us can watch people do things and say, well, that's not very bright, and then go and do the same thing ourselves and be shocked that we get the same results, right? I know better. I'm smarter than that person. Whether we like it or not, Scripture tells the truth. human beings are in many ways like sheep. It doesn't mean we're mindless followers. Sometimes we are mindless followers. But sheep aren't mindless followers either. Sheep are stubborn. They're hard-headed. They do what they want to do. They don't pay attention to the dangers around them. So what does Jesus tell us? He says, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. The hired hands, they don't, you know, some of them are better than others. But at the end of the day, when the going gets tough, the hired hands have a tendency to leave. There's a real problem in the world of clergy burnout. Depending on, not even the denomination really, depending on the congregation and the clergy themselves, sometimes clergy take on too much. Sometimes congregations either expect too much or they just don't help enough. And clergy get burnt out. As clergy, I can tell you, there's a lot of people who think that the only thing I do is stand up for about 30 to 45 minutes on a Sunday and jibber-jabber until Clayton goes and sits back at the piano or the organ, and then, you know, we go home. That's part of my job, it is. And yeah, I teach Bible study too. It's part of my job. But you know, I also study for those things, but even more than that, pastors are therapists and counselors. Pastors are financial planners. Pastors do a lot of things, and we do it because we want to, and we do it because of a calling, we do it out of love. But we're human too, and we fail. And what Jesus is addressing here is that God has given his people shepherds, and these shepherds aren't always the best shepherds. They fail. Sometimes they fail even though they do what they think they're supposed to do. But Jesus says, don't put your faith in them. Something that's always funny to me is when we have leaders, not just religious leaders, but just leaders in general, whatever they may be, political, business, even just like the leader of, you know, the PTA or something like that. And they mess up. And everybody just does what everybody does. Some people help them and feel bad for them and try and help them to get better. Some people say, well, I knew it was going to happen. Some people say, see, I told you this always happens. You know, there's all these different things. I wouldn't have done it that way. It's people react in different ways. But everybody feels disappointment in some way with their leaders. But Jesus will never disappoint you. That's what he means when he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd doesn't just protect his sheep. The good shepherd pays attention to the dangers. The good shepherd warns of the dangers. But the good shepherd also sees that his sheep has fallen into a trench, goes and pulls them out, dusts them off, and watches as the sheep goes right back into the trench again. And he goes and he pulls them back out and dusts them off and watches as he goes and falls back in the trench again. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor to be your pastor. It's been an honor to be pastor of the previous appointments. But all pastors are human. All pastors have good days and bad days. All pastors say things they shouldn't and don't say things they should. All pastors are human. Don't look to your pastor. Look to your pastor for guidance. Yes, absolutely. Hold your pastor to a standard. Absolutely. Scripture says to do that. But remember that as much as I love each and every one of you, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for each and every one of us. Your pastor is going to fail you, whoever your pastor is. It's just a fact. You're going to fail your pastor. That's just a fact. But what unites us is not our failures. What unites us is our shepherd who loves us even when we're unlovable. So I encourage you, look to the good shepherd, imitate the good shepherd, follow me as I follow Christ, and follow Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, thank you that you are the good shepherd. Help us to remember that at the end of the day, when all others fail, when all others have weaknesses, when all others don't do what we need or want them to do, you are faithful. Even to death. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven, and taking them, may you extend them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.